scripture. No, let me stop there. Let me stop there. Because we're going to talk about scripture for the rest of our time together. But let me ask you. Comment, thoughts, feelings, reactions, anything. John.
I have a comment on people with gratitude in general. You say, is it self-esteem?
Self-worth is a term he uses.
We have a very narcissistic way of doing things. In history, there have been a lot of geniuses, really exceptional people, who were not grateful for what they had. And they wanted, egotistically or narcissistically, to be recognized as the best, even the best. And I saw this documentary of The Kingdom of the Air by Ken Burns. It was about radio.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in this invention of the technology for radio had this sense that they're the best, they want to be famous, they want to be known. And they were really unhappy. And what they missed was the sense of gratitude for their great gifts.
Interesting.
Now, I don't think many of us have this problem. We're not geniuses, but we all have gifts. But if we take credit for them as this is what makes us special, and where is the joy? Where is the gratitude? We received our gifts. But this is so basic that rather than looking them in an egotistic way, it's the way we encourage people to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to put that out.
Right. They seem to miss one of their components, that gratitude requires acknowledging there's somebody to be grateful for.
Right.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, please.
You're mentioning that gratitude has to do with the present. It reminded me that some years ago I heard in the sermon, the minister said that gratitude means you're paying attention.
That's cool. Yeah. I may steal that. That's cool. Thank you. Any others? Any thoughts?
I think gratitude is recognizable. I think that's what I say about gratitude. You usually wear it on your face.
Yeah, you can see it.
You can see it.
And similarly, you can see.
Yeah. Yeah. You should talk very quickly.
Cool. Wow. Thank you. Wow.
Two things. One, you started out by saying something interesting, the connection between Sabbath and gratitude. And I hadn't really thought about it before. In the sense of both are headspace things. You apply that. I don't know if you were thinking about those
ones.
And the other side of it is, this is another 2 weeks, some other time, I guess, but talking about forgiveness really is difficult if you haven't adopted an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think of your 4 points, the last one really spoke to me in that way.
Cool. Thank you. Others?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of what you said. Gratitude. The first item you said, gratitude.
Related to Sabbath?
Yeah. It's a headspace thing. It's there's Sabbath, you can see somebody observe it, but the more important aspect, I think, is what goes on in your head. And I think gratitude is similar.
Perfect.
When I work with my pain patients, especially when doctors refer them to me, and I always say thank you to them, and then they act different towards me.
Because
they're not used to hearing thank you. And they're like, what do you, I'll go thank you. And they're like, what do you thank you for? Thank you for. It's something like that. But it's still working. And then when I work with my extreme dementia patients lately, that are like 95 and up, I say thank you a lot to them. And they just calm down and act different.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for the reminder. I have said that, at a hospice chaplain at one time in my life, and probably the most profound experience that I've ever had with people is with those folks who were dying and their families. Most clear sense of God in our midst, but to what Cricket is saying, so often these were folks who were dying, profoundly ill, experiencing existential pain, but they would thank me. More than once, I would say, may I have a prayer with you? And they'd say yes, and they would then pray for me before I left. And I would sit in the car after I left the visit. Oh, it happens. And I'm not thankful some days. Quite an illustration of thankful living. So thanks for bringing that up. Others? Okay, let's take a look at the scripture. Psalm 92. If you want, I think your Bible is still in the pew there, if you want to pull it out, I'm going to read that and then say a few words about that. I am reading from the, I think I brought the Common English Bible, we have the Common English Bible. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, Most High, to proclaim your loyal love in the morning, your faithfulness at nighttime, with the ten-stringed harp, with the melody of the lyre, because you've made me happy, Lord, by your acts. I sing with joy because of your handiwork. How awesome are your works, Lord. Your thoughts are so deep. Ignorant people don't know. Fools don't understand this. Though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers seem to blossom, they do so only to be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are exalted forever. Look at your enemies, Lord. Look at how your enemies die. How all evildoers are scattered abroad, but you've made me as strong as a wild ox. I'm soaked in precious ointment. My eyes have seen my enemy's defeat. My ears have heard the downfall of my evil foes. The righteous will spring up like a palm tree. They will grow strong like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who have been replanted in the Lord's house will spring up in the courtyards of our God. They will bear fruit, even when old and gray. They will remain lush and fresh in order to proclaim, the Lord is righteous. He's my rock. There's nothing unrighteous in him. Some comments about his enemies. But through it all, there's a comment about the faithfulness of God. And that's what he's thankful for. He's not so much thankful, I mean, he's grateful that his enemies were vanquished. But underlying and overarching this is the knowledge that was possible because of God. God was always, always, always with him. The Lord is righteous. He's my rock. And that was the root of thanksgiving for the writers of Scripture. The notion of God's steadfast love, a wonderful concept in all of Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. Think of the words, steadfast love. A love that never lets you go. Throughout the Scripture, examples of how human beings mess up. Sometimes colossally, but God still loves us. There are times when human beings are in great pain and need. God loves us and saves us. Times when our relationship with God is spectacular, and God loves us and saves us. God's love is steadfast. And that's the whole notion of what John was referring to, I think, earlier. Thinking that the greatness is in me pulls me away from gratitude, so that I'm no longer recognizing the God who is the object of my gratitude. And the psalmist very clearly saw that, I think. This particular psalm, I think it's a good example of what I was saying at the beginning, that oftentimes there's liturgical connections with the expression of our thanksgiving. And this very likely is one of those. It demonstrates a close relationship among praise and thanksgiving and remembering God's faithfulness, all three of which were key to the Scripture. Over and over and over again, people are reminded of God's faithfulness, not because they don't remember it, but because they forget it. There's a difference. They know that God has been there, but in the midst of the press of the moment, they forget that God's been faithful. And over again, they're reminded of that. That's what the psalmist is doing here. And the result of that remembering is inevitably praise and thanksgiving. That's the root phrase of Thanksgiving. Or Thanksgiving, excuse me. We're going to talk about this in just a few minutes. I want to get through a couple of scriptures, and we're going to stop for more discussion before we close in prayer. But in preparation for that time of discussion, think about what acts of God in your past caused you to be thankful. That's what was happening oftentimes in the scripture. The folks forgot how God had always been faithful to them, and so when they got to the present moment, like Babylonian exile, they thought, well, okay, God, what's up? Because God wasn't acting like they expected God to act right then. So there needed to be a remembrance of how God had acted in their life in the past to remind them, if that was true, why do you think God's going to suddenly stop loving you now? That kind of idea. So think about that. What act of God in your past might cause you to be grateful? If you hit the next slide, please. Three scriptures in the New Testament. There's a lot more, obviously, than that. But I wanted to share three. The first one is Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This is really a cool story. It's the story of the healing of 10 lepers. And you're going to see in these two scriptures from Luke, Jesus' attitude about Thanksgiving and about remembrance. This scripture, as I said, is from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." What happened to the other 9, do you think? Were they not thankful or what happened?
It sounds like in some way they took it for granted.
The healing.
The healing, yeah.
Because Jesus, of course, is Jesus, he can do this, that kind of thing?
Perhaps he can, but they just didn't feel moved to thank him. We thought, okay, that's great. And he, you know, it was the end of their thinking about that event.
Mm-hmm. Others? Thank you, John. Others? Where did 9 go?
They weren't grateful because it didn't feel grace. Now, people that experience gratefulness and grace, they say that grace is something you experience. So you see a bird sings, and you experience the fullness of something like grace, and that makes you grateful, full of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But these other 9 didn't feel that. This guy did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't appreciate how much humility is a part of gratitude, but it really truly is. And I think they felt entitled. Maybe he's entitled to that event, they weren't humble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh.
It is a humble act.
Yeah. In relation to that.
Please remember.
I think maybe just in the dramatic of the experience, we lost that for a few moments, you know? Like, you sometimes read in the paper of people, there's that section of the paper, and Thursday night, thinking there's some people will write in and they'll say, "This happened, this accident happened, and so on and so helped me. I didn't get their name or I forgot to thank them." I think maybe some of them might have just experienced that and it was so overwhelming. He just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great
That's a wonderful thought. We'd be thankful for that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be wonderful to think, and why not think this? We don't know. That they all kind of ran away and they thought, oh, until they got back, Jesus was gone. You know, we don't know that they didn't come back. That's really a wonderful and loving interpretation. That's what she's saying here. It's also interesting, I think, to notice that Jesus knew how many there were to start with and how many came back. I think it points up Jesus, in a perhaps a subtle way, suggesting the importance of thanksgiving. He made a point of saying, weren't there 10? Weren't the other 9? Only you came to give thanks. And I don't believe in Jesus who's arrogant, so I don't think he was trying to bring glory to himself, because he always said that his healing came as a gift from God. They're not honoring God and giving thanks was significant because it didn't honor the object of the gratitude in the first place. So I think one of the things, I think one of the things to note about Jesus is gratitude is a healing. I'm not sure, had I been in the same situation, I remember all the people in the hubbub and the people around me and all kinds of activity happening, but Jesus knew there were 10 of them and only one of them came back. And I think that is in Luke's gospel to tell us thanksgiving is an important thing to do. Please, Bob.
What is the significance of the fact that the one who was grateful was a foreigner, a Samaritan?
What do you think? Thank you. That's the question is, the one who came back was a foreigner and the others weren't. What is Luke saying?
It's ironic. But it's not always us. It's sometimes some of them are also grateful.
And the recipient of God's good gifts.
God doesn't take more anybody.
Yeah. Thank you, Bobby. I just laughed that we needed to talk about that. Any others? It's a foreigner that came back. Any thoughts about it? Well,
I think, you know, again, if you read the New Testament, there are places where people respond to Jesus by saying, we're sons of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings with it a sense of entitlement, I think. So, you know, again, as we were saying before, maybe it's the person who didn't have that expectation, not being a son of Abraham, who actually appreciated the others, felt entitled to it.
Thank you for bringing that up, Molly. That gratitude is, and that gets back, I think, to Candy's point about humility, that gratitude, the gifts that trigger gratitude are for all folks, not just us. And God is the God of all creation. And that's, I thank you, I appreciate you bringing that. That's important to Molly. Before we run out of time, let's go on to the next two scriptures. The next scripture is in Luke 22, verses 17 to 19. This is during the Last Supper. And Jesus is offering the words of what we know as the words of institution for the bread and the cup. Disciples are gathered. Dinner's pretty much concluded, and he takes the bread and the cup. And this is how he records it. This is verses, chapter 22, verses 17 to 19, also in the Gospel of Luke. After taking the cup and giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you, from now on, I won't drink from the fruit of the vine until God's kingdom has come. After taking the bread and giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same kinds of patterns are present there. He's asking folks to remember. And it's an active remembrance. It's not just a wistful nostalgia of a little bit old days. It's not that kind of thing he's talking about. He's talking about remember when he's not there, what he has done so that they can live lives of what we have come to call disciples. And he gives thanks. The same kind of pattern we saw in the Psalms. Remembrance and Psalm 92. Remembrance and thanksgiving tied together. The same thing is true here as Jesus offers what we will be sharing in just a few minutes, or if you're ready, very already shared. That sacrament that demonstrates unity, that demonstrates the depth of God's love, that demonstrates our unity with each other and with God, and that is in some settings called the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. So it's a profoundly thankful act to receive the sacrament. Let me just hit one more scripture and then we'll stop. This is Paul talking in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. I always find it really neat when Paul talks like this, because he was one who probably knew physical ailment, but certainly knew what it was to be battered out, put in prison. This was not an easy life. But yet, he says something like this in Philippians, but then this is in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 16th through the 18th verses. Rejoice always. Hello. Sorry. Talking about the present. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I think equipment is possessed. What a wonderful, but a powerful, and a high bar kind of thing that Paul holds out for us. Now, Paul admittedly was one who didn't mince words, and he didn't make life easy for folks, but to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation. Wow, that's pretty important, pretty powerful. Next week, we're going to pick up with some of this and talk about probably some of the liturgical elements of Thanksgiving. I'm not really sure I haven't fully defined that. But for now, we're going to close the prayer in just a minute, but let's just stop and talk for a minute. What kinds of things are you thankful for? When you think about Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for today? Please.
Family.
Okay. Others, what are you thankful for today?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, absolutely.
Teachers.
Okay.
Health.
Any other? What are you thankful for today?
Health.
Oh, health. Thank you. I didn't hear you. Others. Please.
I just want to say that it says be thankful in all situations, not for all situations.
So absolutely.
The rainy day, good things. It might not be wanted, but in all situations, good things.
I don't know if you heard that in the back. Thank you. Paul is saying to be thankful in every situation, not for every situation. If you're in a car accident, you're not necessarily thankful for the car accident. You can be thankful in the situation, if you're alive or whatever. Thank you. That's a simple but important distinction.
Another thing that we can think of is our heart is always praying and always grateful. Our spirit is always praying and always grateful. Our minds aren't always praying and always grateful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Love.
I'm sorry?
Love. I'm grateful for love.
Ah, okay. Others?
Struggles.
Struggles.
You can.
Because you learn from
it?
Okay. Struggles is what Tisha said. Are we okay now? Things going on? John?
I'm grateful that he came here. I didn't have to cross paths in Pittsburgh, Maryland.
And I wonder why the roads are closed when it's coming south. Well, it's coming down the river. I want to close with a prayer from Hebrew prayer book. I don't know which Hebrew prayer book, unfortunately. I tried to find it, but I couldn't. But I think the prayer is lovely enough that I wanted to share it, even though I can't give you the exact citation. Let's pray. Though our mouths were full of song as the sea, and our tongues of exultation as the multitude of its waves, and our lips of praise as the wide extended firmament, though our eyes shone with light like the sun and the moon, and our hands were spread forth like the eagles of heaven, and our feet were swift as hinds, we should still be unable to thank thee and bless thy name, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, for 1,000th or 1/10,000th part of the bounties which thou hast bestowed upon our fathers and upon us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug, for helping.